Hockey Update is brought to you by Deck and Drive, the official brick paver installer of the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, it's an elite program. It's the best organization in the league. We do everything the best, and we're still on an upward trajectory after winning two Stanley Cups in a row and three Stanley Cup finals in a row. So it's incredible. I'm so proud of that because I've been here for it, and yeah, it's amazing. I can't say much else about it.
Aaron Ekblad there. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody. We've been talking a lot about this guy and what he has put together. Oh, my gosh. Bill Zito, the Florida Panthers general manager, now two-time Stanley Cup champion. Bill, I can't even imagine what it was like up there with everybody in your organization, looking at a couple hundred thousand people on the beach. What was that like?
It was really cool. Like, you know, that's kind of a silly word to use, but it's appropriate in this instance. I don't know if you had occasion. Did you see the Coast Guard video from the helicopter?
Yes, it was unbelievable.
That was unreal. But you know, the interesting thing about it was it didn't feel. We were in the parade in Cleveland when we won it in the American League with the Cavs. And there was over 1 million people, and no one really knew.
Right.
Kind of, you know, who's the minor league hockey? They're here to see LeBron. So I'm sure they got the feeling. But when we were going down that street, it felt like, I picked out 100 people that I made eye contact with. Like, I know that guy. Yeah. That's my neighbor.
Yeah,
that's my
cool.
friend. And it was that kind of... I just think that there's that kind of connection between the fan base and the players. And they were all talking about it.
I've never seen anything like it, by the way. Your guys jumping off, hugging guys that they've seen at games and taking pictures and throwing down a couple of cold ones. Your connection with your players, I can't say enough. And I want to get into some of that. But first, Aaron Ekblad. I mean, there's a guy that's a free agent. He's screaming, Bill, can I come back and play for you?
I don't think he's playing anymore. I guess he's going into marketing. If you heard that piece that you played, oh my God. Hire that guy.
Oh my gosh.
No, we're going to try to keep all the guys. And, I think there's a way.
Wow.
It's important to remember that if there's not, it's that's life. And we'll shake everybody's hand. I mean, it's almost. Not even really negotiating. It's more like mediating. We're going to spend it all.
Yeah.
And there's only so much to go around, and we'll try to get it done. And I'm really hopeful that we can.
Well, I will tell you, Bill. I like when those guys have had a couple cold beers. They made no bones about it. They all want to be back. Can you get it done for me? And please don't talk to Sam Bennett's agent and then me. How about Sam Bennett, man? The Sam Bennett story. I got to tell you this, Bill, as a fan and watching everything, I got a little pissed off reading all the writers about we're dirty. And I just took it. I came on radio and go, man, that's the biggest compliment. We're a physical team. And in everybody's head, including some of the Canadian writers and everything else, and Sam Bennett this, and then Sam Bennett scoring, and what he did in front of the goal was a dirty play, and when's the league going to step in? And I was really glad to hear Sam Bennett go, F you, we're back-to-back champions. I thought it was great. Does that stuff bother you, by the way, that was going on about your team? Chippy, dirty, all the other stuff?
No, I think it just happens. The nature of where we are in our business and the media business and clicks and this and that, I think drama sells. We do play hard. Have we crossed the line? Yeah, I don't ever think it's really intentional or, our guys want to hurt anybody and vice versa. I don't think anybody does that to us. It's just you play hard and things happen. Sam Bennett has been a consummate player, warrior, and teammate. And that's a part of Sam that not a lot of people get to see that we do. What a good guy he is. What a gracious teammate. What a considerate guy. And so he is as advertised. He's a wonderful guy.
Bill, we spend so much time on talk radio. I'm guessing not just here in South Florida, but all over the country, talking about culture and chemistry and leadership and having the right guys in the locker room with the right personality. So, and I watch your guys up there while they're drinking a couple cold ones with their arms around each other, and guys that used to like really dislike each other that now love each other, the brotherhood, whatever you want to call it. Explain how you get that, or you felt like you had it from day one? Have you seen it grown? Help me, because we got other teams that talk about culture that are struggling with culture. We got another team, and I'm not saying names, that are saying there was team building all off season to get it so we can get rid of the guys being late and some of the other things. You don't have any of that stuff. Why?
Starts with Vinny, with the Viola family, who empower us. And this isn't just lip service. This is true. I've been told on a number of occasions there's no consequence for failure, because if you don't fail, you're not trying. Right? Sure, we're going to screw up. And the same thing with Paul Maurice. He says to the new players, I need you to fail. I need you to make mistakes. I need you to turn the puck over. And I need to get the best out of you. And I'm not going to be able to do that if you're worried about making mistakes. And I think that then the locker room appreciates it. It starts with Sasha and who he is as a person. If you've had any occasion to spend time with him, he is the highest character, nicest person I've ever met. And so as it trickles down, you know what? We're going to get scored on. We're going to lose. God, you stupid stuff. Okay. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Who doesn't make mistakes? So we're not going to, I mean, if it happens 10 times in a row, yeah, okay. I mean, and there are consequences, right? You'll come out of the lineup. Best players play. And everybody has accepted the fact that it's team first. We are here to win, period. You're a great guy. That's wonderful. I'll go for a beer with you. But if you're not, if there's someone who's going to help the team better tonight, that guy's in. And the acceptance of this philosophy by, for example, the guys in and out of the lineup was extraordinary. I mean, it was, I remember in Edmonton after, I want to say game five, Jesper Boqvist hugging Forsling. I've never seen a more sincere, genuine, and he wasn't in the lineup.
Right.
And so that, I think it starts with our ability to make mistakes and to try hard, and then to know, okay, listen, we're okay. Keep going. From the coach preaching it and living it, and then from the players following the example set by Sasha and how to treat each other.
I got to ask you, Brad Marchand made such an impact, not necessarily at the end of the regular season, but what he did in the playoffs with that third line has become, will be legendary and talked about, and what he's done for himself. So you go to make that deal. You know there was a little bad blood going back to Boston and the Panthers and the hit and everything else. How much time did you put into the Brad Marchand deal once, just with your team, with your coach, with everybody, before you decided to go ahead and make that deal?
Second.
Wow.
I mean,
no-brainer.
If you get Brad Marchand, you get him.
Yeah.
You know. And the bad blood thing is, I don't know how to explain it. I didn't think there was any. It happens all the time in every game. There's physical contact. Things happen. And I think that there's a level of respect that these players have for each other that transcends anything that happens in battle on the ice.
Yeah.
No. And indeed it does. It did, right? Like, and then... And Brad lost in his on-ice success and his leadership of his line and tutelage to the Finnish guys on his line was his impact on our room. And the energy, the character, energy is the best word. He walks into the room and he takes the oxygen. It's the Marshy show in a really good way. Fun, positive, upbeat. Yeah, he's an extraordinary human.
Bill, when this thing really got turned around, now we've had three Stanley Cups, and what you guys have been able to do is remarkable, now going for the three-peat. But does this all go back to the trade with Jonathan Huberdeau for Matthew Tkachuk that you really felt like that kind of got things going and that was the big piece to start it, or were there other things?
Well, we had a pretty successful year before that.
Yep.
I think what started was Patrick Hornquist. And when he came, he brought a winning is the only focus attitude to our group.
Wow.
But in a positive way, in a fun, hard way. And I remember the first practice, it ended and the guys were getting off the ice and he started screaming at everybody, get back on the ice. We have power play work to do. And you knew then,
wow,
that if it's possible that this is a guy to drive it. And he did. And he's still to this day, even in our meetings on our staff, I'm going to see him this week. We're going to have a pro player meeting and he's going to hammer us to be better. And so if you had to look for a catalyst or a starter, it would be Patrick.
That's awesome. Hey, the other one, everybody talks about the relationship, GM head coach, the job, Paul Maurice, and I love when he comes on with us all the time. And, hey, Bill, he starts with you almost every time and what you've done and you two working together to put this thing. Just talk about that a little bit.
Well, imagine the luxury that I enjoy having – but the second winningest coach in the history of the NHL.
Good point.
he's become a mentor, right? To me. At one point I said to him, I'm never talking after you again. And he looked at me and said, I've only done it, let's see, how many thousand games times three periods? Yeah, I've only got about 5,000 up on you. And his wit, his brilliance, I mean, he's the best coach I've ever seen. And I don't think it matters what he's coaching. It's the way that he applies himself and presents the materials to the players. It's extraordinary and great person. We're just so blessed to have him.
All right. So Bill, all this stuff going on, I know you got free agency, so I know you're super busy and still trying to get your guy signed before July 1st and everything else. But when you do get a little time, so you go back. I know you're a Pittsburgh guy. I've gotten the Marino story. My former teammate has, you know, got me up to date on you a little bit. Still a lot of Pittsburgh blood in you?
I was born there, and then my dad's from Punxsutawney, and then we moved to Wisconsin when I was one or two. So I would have to say I'm a Wisconsin guy.
Okay, that's fair. Now, did you get the Steeler blood in you? Did you get the Steeler blood from your father?
Yep. So the I still have, and we were looking last time, I couldn't find it, but I think I still have my Franco's Italian Army T-shirt.
Wow.
So that should tell you my allegiance to the Steelers.
Yeah, that's good stuff, Bill. I can't thank you enough, man. This has been great. Can't wait to see what's going to happen next. Do you feel like you're rolling hot dice? Have you whiffed on anything? Because everything. And every piece you put in has friggin' seems like it's worked out. And I know you probably got a couple behind the scenes like, that didn't really work out. But, hey, these guys are a bunch of dumbasses. Give me credit, so it's okay.
No, like, yes. all day, every day. It's a continuing series of errors and mistakes. And one thing that we enjoy here is from both the coaching staff and the room, and it's maybe the thing I'm almost as proud of as anything. When players come here, it tends to be their best seasons of their career as they look back, or you know, you can just look at it.
Yeah.
Where if they've been on multiple teams, their best years were with us. And I firmly believe it's from the coaching staff, the way they lead, they teach, they hold guys accountable, they teach, they lead. It's like this cycle, and then it's the room. It's the other players pull it out of you. They demand it. They demand your work. But they also allow you to be yourself.
Yeah.
And it's extraordinary.
Bill,
it truly is.
Guys love winning too, don't they? Oh, my God. It's sure a lot easier to do business when you've been to Stanley Cup three times and hear your guys who, by the way, your team, nothing against your marketing department with the Panthers, But their job's a hell of a lot easier when you got that group of guys going out and going to clubs and hanging out and drinking with your fan base. I mean, that's hanging
I'm gonna
out.
I'm going to get the shots from the elbow room and then from the Coast Guard guys, combine them with Ekblad and hire them all to start a marketing company. He'll do the narrative. He'll do the narrative over the video.
Yeah, I got to tell you, God bless the elbow room, which was around even when I was playing. So it's been around a long time, and your guys have been good for business there. Hey, thank you so much, Bill. Really appreciate it, man. I hope we see you and get a chance to talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have all a great day.
All right. Bill Zito, Panthers general manager, here with us.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Back here with you on a Monday. Florida Panthers had their victory parade yesterday down on Fort Lauderdale Beach. It was a show, ladies and gentlemen. It was an absolute show. Absolutely a great time. Let's hear from some of the cats at the podium yesterday.
How many beeps?
We'll see. We'll see. Let's first hear from the captain who wanted to give love. He wanted to do his speech that he did last year where he gets everybody going with the Bobby chants.
Let me start with the way it ended last year. Let's do it again. Bobby.
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 Bobby. Thank you.
Nailed it. Why does he do it like that?
I have no idea, but I keep thinking that maybe he should have his ears checked.
It does sound like the Freddie Mercury at the World Aid concert. Yeah, but it's just like a very
it's a
very hammered Finnish version of that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the only thing that I can possibly think he's trying to do.
Paul Maurice. He was wearing a T-shirt that had Penny and Poppy on it. Each had a crown on their head. But he, of course, in his Paul Maurice way, was philosophical and described this as the summer of love.
And I didn't check with the Viola family, and I should have. And I didn't check with the players. But a proclamation from the Florida Panthers today in Southeast Florida. The 2025 is the summer of love. So here we know this. In the history of man, there is no chance there have been, ever been this many cat lovers in one spot.
This guy really loves his cats.
He loves his cats, man. He loves his cats. This was Paul Maurice on his cat shirt. Part two.
So those of you fine people that braved the weather last year, you saw a cat in the front and a cat on the back. I got two cats on the front. That's Poppy, that's Penny, and there's only one way a grown man at 58 gets on a stage in front of 500,000 people is if your daughter made me. My daughter made us. As you can understand.
Wow.
The parade shirt. She's a great honor.
She should take great honor in that.
Yeah. Epic.
Well, Tobin, you'll get to this point to where your daughter will buy you something.
Yeah.
And make you wear it. Hmm. Right?
Yep.
Dude, I just floated around with a blue beard for 2 weeks.
Well, that was okay. That was not your daughter. I thought that was your wife.
No, it was tag team.
Well, yeah. Mm.
Tandem. But, yeah.
Looking good, by the way.
Then we get to the profanity. Matthew Tkachuk. Well, this was him channeling his inner Conor McGregor.
I didn't have anything prepared today like the rest of everybody, but I was talking to Gustav Forsling in the back, and we thought about one of my favorite lines ever, and it was, I would like to apologize to absolutely nobody, because I double champed this ever the wants.
All right.
You knew, look. that started off way too mellow for Kachuk. You knew some fire was coming. Man, they say he was hurt really good. He might have to have surgery.
Yep. Tore it off the bone. Man,
let me tell you. I don't know how groins work in skates, but there's no way you could do that on a football field.
How old was Conor Kachuk when the Conor McGregor Nate Diaz 2-5? What was he, like 15?
Mm-hmm.
They must have thought, like, this is the cool. I can't wait to drop that. He's 27. So it was 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And so he was at the end of high school when that happened. Yep. Sam Bennett, he also channeled the Notorious One. Here was Sam Bennett.
This is truly incredible. I mean, you know, a lot of people they don't like the way we play. They don't like, they call us dirty. They call us nasty. They call us bullies. So, no, I would like to take this time to apologize to absolutely no one. We're the double champs. We do what we want. Let's go.
Wow.
That was good delivery.
he nailed that one.
He
goes, no. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. What a time.
It's funny that when you're physical,
yep,
in any sport, and the other team can't match your physicality, they try to brush it off as you being dirty, right? And it's a shame, because guess what? Unlike all these other teams, 2 years ago, the Panthers realized that they had to get more physical to compete with the Tampas, the Carolinas, yep, and all these other teams. So what they did was they brought in players to accomplish that. Now, don't all of a sudden get upset that the blueprint was out there to how to win, and the Panthers did it the best. I don't want to hear it.
All right, so Billy LaJoy grew up in Hollywood. He's a Panthers fan, South Florida guy. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Now, you've seen the picture, Crowder, of Billy at the Panthers parade?
Yes. He looked out of place.
Yeah, there it is. He's wearing an Edmonton Oilers jersey and holding a sign. I suck at fantasy football. Last place, 2024.
There it is. He has a sign right there. He has a sign.
So, yeah. Billy, oh, there is the sign. That's great. So, first of all, tell us, did you know beforehand, like, this would be the punishment if, or how did it come about that your punishment was to go to the Florida Panthers parade wearing an Oilers jersey? I'm guessing you're a Panthers fan, so it hurt even more.
Yeah. So, basically, over the years, our league, we've all known each other probably since we were, like, 4 years old. But, over the last 10 years, we've had the Fantasy League. It's helped keep our friend group together. And people don't really do punishments for last place. And this was my first time coming in last place. And I was like, I'm going to set a standard because that has to stop. And so basically, it was just trying to figure something out. That's why it took so long. It wasn't like I saw some things where people were like, oh, yeah, how do you know from the end of football season that that's going to happen? No, it was just it had to be something that was way high level. And literally a few days before the parade, people knew I was going, and I might have trolled my friends the day of game 3 by just sending a photo of the jersey just to mess with them. And that got me kicked out of multiple group chats, and it didn't look good when they lost that game. And so when they found out I was going to go to the parade, they were like, you got to wear the jersey. That's the perfect punishment. And so then, sure enough, I wear the jersey, and I was really worried about things happening to me. So I was like, we need a sign. There has to be a sign that explains this to people.
just to kind of let people know why you're in that jersey. Yeah, that makes
yeah.
sense.
And
Billy, though, but everybody's not going to read the sign. They're just going to see a troller walking around with an Oilers jersey. Did anything nasty happen? Did any Panthers fan get upset by it?
There were a lot of people yelling at me obscenities, you know, when they couldn't see it, when I was on the fence and people walking behind couldn't really, like, see the sign. But for the most part, there was – once people read the sign, it was, oh, that's funny, or people would laugh at me. People on the buses were laughing at me, like going by in front of me.
Yeah, did any of the players acknowledge you when they went by and saw you in an Oilers jersey?
I want to say Forsling came up, read the sign, and I'm trying to remember who else. One other person came up. Kachuk, from the top of the bus, was giving me a thumbs down as it went by. And just, a lot of them were, like, up top. I saw whoever was standing next to Barkov was explaining him, like, what was going on down there. And so, but, yeah, I got a lot of people pouring things on me, squirting water from the water guns. It was a lot of chants in my direction. So, but it was.
Well, was it? It's a weird question. Was it rewarding? Like, did you feel like, hey, I accomplished something here? If you end up last in the fantasy football league, you need to do something worthwhile as a punishment, and I did it. I accomplished it. And at what point did you take the jersey off?
So I didn't take the jersey off till way after the parade, like. Walking, we had gone to a hotel afterwards where one of my friends was staying, and that's when I finally got the jersey off, because I was like, I need just AC, because this ain't going well. But yeah, I would say that it was cool to know that I went through with it. Looking back, obviously there was a lot of cool things that came with it, with just how people reacted to it and how it got on the internet and stuff. But I also, like, I'm happy because nobody else has really done anything. And now our commissioner, who hasn't done anything for 4 years, he lost 4 years ago, still hasn't done anything. We're like on him every 5 seconds now. Just like, you got to do something now. And he's kind of avoiding it, but I'm hoping it sets that up.
Yeah, I got to know, who'd you draft in the first round? Like, what went wrong with your fantasy team?
Why are you so terrible at fantasy football?
So okay, two championships, actually.
Oh,
but all we know is you're wearing an Oilers jersey. That's all hearsay.
So the first round went good. I had the turn. I got Gibbs at 12. Where it messed up was Etienne at 13, after
that'll
that.
That'll do it.
The Kyle Pitts saga continues. And my receivers just weren't there at all. It was brutal.
You play fantasy football, Crowder?
Yeah. I play with Solana hadn't been in our league. I played on the WQAM league every now and again.
You put like time into it, though?
No, not really. I just draft my guys and let them ride.
Billy, you put time into it every week? Like, are you an active fantasy footballer?
Oh, yeah. The thing is, everybody else in that league does too. Like, my friend who won the league, he starts mock drafting right now.
Oh, the worst kind of guy. The worst kind of guy.
He's already mock drafting.
He's got the magazines. Like, oh, I have friends like that too. It's the worst.
Billy, what does that guy you're speaking of do for a living? Because I got three kids. I have to, I have different things to concentrate on.
Actually, he got a really good job. He sells food, like, to the people who sell food to, like, the restaurants and stuff like that. But that actually started, it's a really good job. That started the year he won the championship. Before that, he couldn't win anything. And so maybe I don't know, the pressure of the
two go hand in hand
locked him in a little bit more.
So did you get any love from, like, undercover Oilers fans at the parade? Was there anyone who came up to you and they were like, yeah, we love Connor McDavid, or you know, treat you like an Oilers fan?
Yeah, sorry to cut you off. There was a lot of people who were like, oh man, McDavid's sick. He was still the best player on the ice and stuff like that. Not really, Edmonton love. There was a guy in an Avalanche jersey for whatever reason who came up to me and took
another fantasy football loser.
I don't even know what we're doing there. But yeah, there was a lot of McDavid love. And besides that, it was surprising how many people were like, oh, let's get a photo. And then you're hearing people like, this is the guy we're hearing about. Let's get a photo. And stuff like that was crazy to me.
So it's kind of like a testament to South Florida sports fans. We're a pretty classy group of sports fans. Did you come away with that that takeaway?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, too, like after it was all said and done, I was like, you know, Panthers fans, there's nothing wrong. I know South Florida fans in general have a reputation, especially Heat fans, with just everybody else hating us, which is great. I love that. But you didn't really get that with the Cats fans. I don't know if it's just hockey has a different vibe in general. But no, everybody was pretty nice to me. So that was great.
That's cool. Billy LaJoy, dude, wore an Oilers jersey to the Panthers parade and lived to tell about it. And it's all because he's terrible at fantasy football. Better luck next year. What's your team name in fantasy football?
It's the Hollywood Good Hot Sauce because it's based off a restaurant that's in the area. So it was they have good hot sauce, and that kind of just stuck.
Yeah, we got that. Yeah.
Well, better luck next season.
No, my name, Hawk.
What's your name?
That Najee's crazy. Like Najee Harris.
Henny given Sunday over here, gentlemen. Henny given Sunday.
Shadow banned if I play. Long story. Billy, thank you for making time for us. It's a cool story. You definitely stood out like a sore thumb at the parade, but glad that you were able to pay off your fantasy football debt. We appreciate you making time for us, Billy.
Thanks for having me.
There you go, Billy LaJoy. Such a great story. I would never do that. I don't go to away games just because I don't want to get beat up. I'm certainly not going to someone's celebratory parade wearing the opposing team's jersey.
Solana let his dad get thrown down the stairs. Come on, man.
This guy's coming to the parade in an Oilers jersey.
Don't go with Solana.
Got guts, man. You got guts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Let's get to our headlines here, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Doral Hyundai, choose over 1,300 new Hyundai miles in inventory with Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai on Saturday. Panthers had their exit media day, and so some of the players addressing their futures, including a good boy and Aaron Ekblad. He is addressed his future and gave a little taste as to where his mindset is at going into this offseason. But he did say that Florida, they do everything the best in the NHL. Here was Aaron Ekblad.
Part of who I am at this point. I've spent 11 years here, and that's more than I've spent in any, you know, home or city in my life. So it's home, and I expect it to be home.
Wow. I hope it is.
Better be.
He also said that the Panthers are just doing everything top-notch.
Yeah, it's an elite program. It's the best organization in the league. We do everything the best, and we're still on an upward trajectory after winning 2 Stanley Cups in a row and 3 Stanley Cup finals in a row. So it's incredible. Like I'm so proud of that because I've been here for it, and it's amazing. I can't say much else about it.
Man, I really don't want to lose him. You vultures are circling around the Cats trying to take away pieces of the championship.
Oh yeah, everybody wants a piece alone, of the champ.
Wasn't he at the parade though discussing that his agent gave him the advice to not do the
Sam Bennett? His agent told him not to pull a Bennett.
Yeah, but it seems like he's put like a very low key like.
Well, look, I think the Panthers, I think you hear him. Like, he wants to stay with the Panthers. I think it's just a question of, like, how much of a discount is he willing to take to stay with the Cats? Because people may throw the bag at him, man. I mean, like, he's a really good defenseman. Gustav Forsling's like, I don't want to play with anybody else. But they did go trade for Seth Jones. They still got Meeksy. This was the Hockey Hornet asking Aaron Ekblad about his contract situation. Here's what he had to say on that.
Season's over and July 1 is coming up. Have you had started that conversation of your, you know, with your agent and everything with Bill? And can you say anything about the process to this point?
Yeah. Conversations have been had. You know, obviously nothing material yet, but they'll be working on it. Things like to seem to come down to the last minute here.
Too hesitant. I didn't like that.
Well, I mean, we had the situation too of him at 11 where it really, he got emotional, kind of sounded like he was saying goodbye.
Yeah, during the parade.
Yeah, well, during the parade, he was like, you know, he was like, wink, I'm not going to.
During the parade, you know, he was talking like in past tense too.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah. I didn't like that.
He's giving body language of a guy who's on his way out, if I'm being honest.
I mean, perhaps, but I don't think he wants to. I think he's trying to like see, hey, is there some move the Cats can make to finagle some more space and try and make things happen? But it's tough. I mean, it is tough. And especially with all these guys, it feels like the momentum is like they're keeping Bennett. Marchand, we don't know, because even though he's like telling everybody, yeah, four more years, I'm sure he's got a lot of people who are going to be wanting his services too. Mm. And then Ekblad's, I mean, he's hometown. Like, I think there is an element like, man, wouldn't you love to see him get to write out the storybook down here?
I think if you could keep Ekblad and Barkov and
Bennett. Barkov's not going anywhere. He's under contract.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that it would not only show, like, it's a team we could ride or die with. Like, we're already there. But when you have your homegrown guys playing their whole career there, that means something to the fan base, too.
I mean, even with him coming off the suspension, it's like it was huge, and then immediately right. He's going to defend Barkov because of those dirty rats in Tampa, and he's like, I'm coming to light fools up, you know, and then he gets suspended again, wrongfully so, because he's a good boy. And you know, it, like, people just have it out for him. I don't know if it's because of his tremendous beard or what it is, why people just think, oh, we need to corral this Aaron Ekblad because he's a menace to society, which he's not, by the way. And I felt like he was targeted at all points by these punitive NHL representatives who wanted to discipline him when all he was doing was being a good friend.
Yeah.
And a good teammate trying to come back from injury. And all of a sudden we put it under the guise of steroids. Get out of here.
Just go.
I don't want to lose Aaron Ekblad. Yeah. No. He's a good boy.